Roger Shattuck suggests that it is rare that three or four artists in different disciplines and not belonging to an organized movement reveal a profound and enduring affinity. Only by cutting below the most prominent figures is one likely to find those both representative of the era and significant in their own right. Their artistic identities are most discernible against their background, rather than removed from it into a new context of individual greatness. Henri Rousseau, Eric Satie, Alfred Jarry, Guillaume Apollinaire. Is this grouping less arbitrary than any other? They make, in fact, a singular team. Rousseau, a true artisan, painted with a combination of insight and awkwardness that has earned for him double standing as both modern and primitive artist. Satie's music partakes of the same simplicity, yet he lived in a series of scandals on the forefront of the artistic scene in Paris. The Alfred Jarry play Ubu Roi made him notorious at age 23, and within 10 years he put himself in the grave with overwork, poverty, and drink. Before dying during the closing hours of World War I, Apollinaire had written some of the finest lyric poetry of the century and had assumed leadership of the Paris avant-garde. All four had colorful, significant careers, careers that might separately be ranked in the second magnitude of the epoch. Why then do they convey, in combination, the interplay of forces that steadily pushed the arts toward what Apollinaire called the new spirit? The reasons are simple. Their entwined careers in Paris exactly span the period 1885 to 1918 and suggest a unity in artistic conviction and practice that is less clearly expressed in any single figure or in a general survey of the era. Chronologically and in spirit, they set its limits. In addition, their originality and persistence worked upon more stable artists and obliged them to take into account the most audacious and sometimes foolish aspirations of the age. That from the study titled The Banquet Years, The Arts in France, 1885 to 1918 by Roger Shattuck. In that study, he brings together key artists of different disciplines, the playwright Alfred Jarry, the painter Henri Rousseau, the composer Eric Satie, and the poet Guillaume Apollinaire. And it is just such a many art experience that is being explored under the influence of the playwright Alfred Jarry and the play Shattuck mentioned, Ubu Roi, this weekend in Wilkes-Barre. Playwright Robert Anderson has been inspired by Jarry's satirical efforts, and he's invited multi-genre keyboard artist Wayne Smith to create original music for a piece in, if not the new spirit of the turn-of-the-century France, then at least in the NEPA spirit. Anderson also commissioned original pieces of visual art for the play, and he's drawn on the poetic inspiration of the likes of Shakespeare and T.S. Eliot. The Rise and Fall of Ubu, King of NEPA, or Ubu Who, by Robert Andrew Anderson, will be presented as a staged reading on October 30th, as part of the continuing Sunday at the Circle series at the Wyoming Valley Art League in downtown Wilkes-Barre, where they will offer a two-day program titled Day of the Dead, a celebration of life and cultures, this Tuesday and Wednesday, another multi-genre event with poetry and visual arts in the mix. We had a visit from writer Robert Anderson and actor Steve Bartolomei, who has the role of Ubu, and Elaine Walton, who is co-producer of the Day of the Dead program and curator of the related art exhibition, all at the Wyoming Valley Art League. Robert Anderson produces the monthly Sunday at the Circle series there with Rose Wright, his wife, and he introduces us to this Sunday's performance.
We took the summer off, and our first program was at the end of September, and it was very successful, An Evening with Cole Porter by Broadway Showtime and Company, Brendan Nybert's group. And now we are doing, well, Ubu, The Rise and Fall of Ubu, King of NEPA, or Ubu Who. And it is a hams and cheese. theater troupe staged reading of that play. And yes, I wrote the play. And I wrote it inspired by, and I've done this before, written plays inspired by Ubu Rua, or King Ubu, which in 1896 purportedly caused riots in Paris by its one performance. After that first performance, it was canceled. I happened to see a performance of Ubu Rua in London at the Royal Court Theatre upstairs in 1970. It was directed by André Serban. I didn't know anything about André Serban, the mad Romanian director. I didn't know anything about Ubu. Why did I go to see it? I have no idea. But it was funny, and it stayed with me. And I then, at some point, read the three Ubu plays, or maybe it's four, and read also about Alfred Jarry, who wrote Ubu when he was a teenager in Paris, a ne'er-do-well teenager, poking fun at one of his teachers. And it was, the original Ubu was a spoof on, inspired by, but also a satire of, or a spoof, or a farce of the Scottish play, but I will say it, Macbeth. Did lightning strike? But instead of setting out to be king of Scotland, Ubu and his very ambitious wife sets out to be king of Poland. And I suppose you could say, in a way, it's maybe the first Polish joke. Our Ubu, by the way, is very, very different in many respects. It is inspired by, it's not even an adaptation of Ubu. It's inspired by that original Ubu, and it takes place mostly here. And Ubu, as the title shows, sets out to be king of Nipa, prodded by his wife. Ubu isn't really very ambitious at all, and as a matter of fact, he's a sluggish oaf, but his wife is super ambitious, and she can't get no satisfaction, even when she sings some of that. There's lots of oldies in this one, just little bits here and there, and they are very much a part of the plot. The climactic scene, in fact, which takes place on an ancient battlefield in Lithuania. Now, in spite of the fact that Alfred Jarry's Ubu was inspired by a satire of Macbeth, he did not have the three witches in his play, but I have the three witches, and they are worth the price of admission. Actually, there is no price of admission. It's free. But very much like in Macbeth, they do the prophecies. And at the very beginning of the play, Act 1, Scene 1, they do the prophecy that he will be three times the king, Ubu will be. And so they have a very important function, and they recur throughout the play. And I think they're going to steal the show. But there's all sorts of other influences in this play, besides Jarry, besides Shakespeare. Oh, and by the way, it's not just Macbeth. It's also Richard III, Julius Caesar, King Lear, too. Julius Caesar, by the way, is very important when it comes to the character of President Vladimir Putin of Russia, who figures in the climactic scene when he and Ubu face off to find out who will become the new world leader on an ancient battlefield in Lithuania.
You are Ubu.
Oh, my. Yes. When I first met Robert at Canteen 900 with my wife, who is also in this play, she can't be here tonight because she's directing another show, Things My Mother Taught Me at Wyoming Valley West High School. But we walked in, and we have a mutual friend in Brenda Nybert, who we mentioned before, and he came up to me, and the first thing he said was, "Ubu." I just immediately liked him from that moment forward. And we had talked, and I was intrigued. So I read Ubu Rua, and I really loved it. My first play I ever did was an absurdist play, Urinetown. So this had similar themes, and Brendan Ibert said birds of a feather, you know. So we had some similar interests. And in Ubu Rua, I thought it was genius how they put a powerful figure in a cave with just common people, and there's a bear that's going to destroy all of them. And the leader was going to just say, well, I'm the leader. I am not responsible for attacking this bear. You guys, well, we're all going to die in this room if the bear eats all of us. We all have to cooperate. And he's like, no, I don't lift a finger. I'm the king. And the bear slaughters everyone. And it was just so amazing how they did that with this type of art form, which was the beginning of avant-garde, or it was before absurdism and Dada. And it was just like, how is this relevant in 2016? Something so absurdist, and you have our current election cycle. So there's a lot of that in the play, which I particularly find amusing. I'm not sure everyone will, but it's current. And I think he is a genius writer, and I'm honored to be a part of this with my wife and my friend John Bubble, who is Vladimir Pukin, and he is fantastic. You have to see him as Vladimir. I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep a straight face. He is just, oh, he has a lot of voices that are similar, so I've heard hints of it, and I'm so thankful that he was able to do this. It's just so much fun. So along with my wife, I can't wait to see this on stage.
And there's also a sports theme.
I'm not so sure I know what's going on even now. It was interesting that you mentioned that, because when I'd first met Robert, we were just introducing ourselves, and at that time I did act in a TV pilot for the New York Television Festival last October. So the actor I did was a football coach. So I am so happy that this is part of the play, and that there's a cheerleader, and she is a real trooper.
I'll tell you another part of the play, again, worth the price of admission. Steve did make a big mistake. He told me before we started Ubu that when he was in Young Frankenstein, locally, was that at Little Theater?
Yes. Yes. I played the monster.
When he was the monster, that he had to tap dance. He had to learn to tap dance and then tap dance on stage. And he told this to me as a kind of complaint. Oh, it was so hard. Oh,
my feet are still sore, I think.
And I said, wait a second. You can tap dance? And so, yes, I wrote it into the play.
Yeah, I swore that I would never do that again. Yeah. I was also in Rocky Horror, which required me to be in heels, like in drag. And I swore I'd never do heels again either. But I am doing tap again, a little bit.
And we have a bear, too. Let's not forget, very important in the plot, in the climactic scene, when Pukin takes on the legendary Lithuanian bear, ancient protector of the Lithuanian people. And we also have an eagle, the legendary Polish white eagle.
Robert mentioned there was a riot the first time this was performed, so I don't know if we'll live up to that.
Well, but, we might.
If someone wants to walk out, I won't be offended. But I'm having a great time, and it is incredibly fun, and my wife really enjoys it, too. She gets to treat me very rough, and it reminds me of my own mom, who used to pull me by the ear out of church. No, I'm kidding.
This performance is also illustrated by artists from the Wyoming Valley Art League. Just to mention a few, Robert Bergstrasser, a.k.a. Bergie, Patricia Lacey, Big Rose, that's Rose Wright, Tiffany Pepe, Jason Kresok, and Joel Koos all have contributed artwork which will be seen by the audience during the show, and a very important part of the show, too, these illustrations. And I must mention our other wonderful cast members. We have Dan Hudzik and Bob Stanley playing the billionaire Pepsi brothers. We have Brian Williams as Joe Bonehedsky, Allison Hudzik as Debbie, the sexy cheerleader, and of course the three homeless witches played by Annie Rodella, Patricia Lacey, and Erica Funky. And we have original music by Wayne Smith, who is a wonderful musician, a keyboard and piano artist. And we have the world premiere of the Pothole Polka. Drive over the potholes. What fun to bounce in the air. And I would like to add a little more about Ubu. Some of the other influences on me as a playwright, and specifically for this play, besides Shakespeare and the original Ubu play, we're getting into Samuel Beckett territory, especially Endgame. We're getting into T.S. Eliot and Prufrock. We're getting into Frank Sinatra, My Way. And Ubu has his own way, which he sings very beautifully.
Well, thank you, Robert.
And we're getting into Mae West. We're getting into a Russian rock group named Pussy Riot. We're getting into the Honeymooners. And finally, who can forget Joyce Kilmer? Now, people really shouldn't miss this. At the Wyoming Valley Art League, the Circle Center for the Arts, that wonderful, wonderful circular brick building in downtown Wilkes-Barre. And it is between South Main Street and South Franklin Street, very close to Public Square, free parking, this Sunday, October 30th at 4 p.m. And we will have our usual famous food and drink set up, lots of things to eat and drink. We do ask for a donation, although there's no mandatory admission price. And we put out food and drink because we believe very strongly that the performance arts and theater in particular is a celebration, or should be a celebration. And I believe that that is a very, very old tradition going back to the ancient Greeks. And continued in Shakespeare's time, too, very much so. So we celebrate, and people who come to our plays, come to our events, whether they're plays or music, they have a good time. They really, really do.
That's the performing side of the Wyoming Valley Art League, and it's Sunday afternoon at 4. This Tuesday and Wednesday at the Circle Center for the Arts, it's a program titled Day of the Dead, a celebration of life and culture. There will be a visual art exhibition tied to the theme, poetry readings, and more. And Elaine Walton, you are co-producer and you're the curator for the art show. Tell us more.
I'm just really happy to work with Alex Becker to bring this to the community with the help of the Wyoming Valley Art League. They have really been instrumental in working with me and Alex to bring the Day of the Dead, a celebration of life and cultures, to the community, and we're really excited to be a part of that. It's going to be a two-day event on Tuesday, November 1st, and Wednesday, November 2nd, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and we are going to have a list of guest speakers as well as poets, all from the local area, and we're also going to have an art exhibit that's going to detail work, artwork, that the community is going to bring in and demonstrate what they believe the Day of the Dead means to them. We're also going to have a TED Talk screening, and it's going to be featuring Candy Chung, whose TED Talk video is titled, Before I Die, I Want To... If you're not familiar with TED Talk, I would encourage everyone to take a look at what they offer, because it's really amazing. And that is exactly what started Alex and I on the road to bringing this event into fruition. When Alex presented the TED Talk meetup, we went and there was about five people there. And so while we were discussing it, you know, we all had the universal feeling of, wow, why don't we as a culture talk about death? Why do we feel like it's such a taboo subject when it can be so much more empowering to people if they can talk about it in a positive way? And so, you know, I said, hey, Alex, I'm an artist. I would love to put together a show for something like this. And Alex is a pastor, and he has a lot of experience dealing with life, death, you know, all kinds of situations that are very meaningful. And so with his role as pastor with Langcliffe Presbyterian Church in Avoca, we started talking about it, and that's really what brought this whole event to life.
Tell us about the Day of the Dead.
Well, the Day of the Dead is a traditional Mexican holiday where they celebrate the Day of the Innocents and the Day of the Dead. And it's a Dia de los Muertos. It is a celebration and a remembrance of those people who have passed away. And, of course, it follows the All Hallows Eve and Halloween. So we are really wanting to kind of work in conjunction with the Halloween and the exhibits that are already there, currently on show or view at the Wyoming Valley Art League. And we've got several guest speakers who are going to be sharing their experiences and some of their wonderful knowledge about what they do. And what I mean by that is, for example, we have Christine Kiesinger, who is going to discuss planning for life's final certainty, a final checklist. And what I believe she's going to cover is, you know, how to prepare for the inevitable that everyone has. And the primary goal of our Day of the Dead concept is to encourage people to discuss death with their significant others in a way that is not morbid, that is positive, and, you know, it will give people a sense of empowerment when they are faced with such a devastating life experience. And so we hope through our poets and our guest speakers and our artwork that we can help each other and, you know, share our experiences and really have some resources and tools that will help us along the way.
Tell us about the poets.
We have some really amazing poets. And Thomas Serra, he's a local author and poet, and he's going to be reading some of his own original work. So I'm really excited about having Thomas there as well. We're also going to have Alex Menerick. He is a local writer and poet and wonderful substitute teacher extraordinaire. So he's going to also be reading some of his work. And we're reserving a little bit of time at the very end because we want to give the community an open mic. So if someone has a story that they want to share, or if they want to share their own poetry, you know, we will certainly want to encourage that, because this is an event that we want to be non-denominational. We want it to be all-inclusive. You don't have to be a professional artist. You know, you just have to have somebody that you love that you want to come and talk about and really listen to some of the guest speakers that might have something to help you out with when you need it.
You put out a call for art for Day of the Dead, a celebration of life and cultures, and you'll be accepting the works on Monday afternoon. But you suggest that you think you're going to be very surprised on Monday.
I think I'm going to be wonderfully surprised, yes. There is such an amazing pool of talent in the Northeast PA area. And I've only been here for less than a year, but I can tell you that I have just been really surprised pleasantly with the amount of talent here. And I have been so embraced by the community, and I really feel like this is my way of giving back.
And it's still not too late if somebody is an artist and has something that's appropriate. It's still possible to enter your work in the exhibition.
Right. That time is going to be on Monday from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock at the Wyoming Valley Art League Circle Center for the Arts, which is located at 130 South Franklin Street. And the entry fee is going directly to the Wyoming Valley Art League in support of this program. And so I just wanted to let everyone know that. And we do have plenty of social media. You can find us on Facebook at Miscellaneous Artworks, which is MiscellaneousArtworks. We also have a website that you can check out, which is elainewalton.net/events. And you can also find a link to the event on the WyomingValleyArtLeague.org website.
Erica, before you mentioned, and I mentioned too, the fact that the Art League was founded as a place for visual arts, and now they're getting into performance arts. But there's a third feature, and that is they are getting more and more into outreach, and they have more than one outreach program. They began with art classes for residents of Ruth's Place, homeless shelter for women in Wilkes-Barre. And they're continuing with that, and we will be doing a benefit for that outreach program at the end of November with our second annual A Christmas Carol Marathon reading. But they're also into outreach programs for youth and art classes for youth, which they did this past summer. And so that's really a third major area that the Art League is now moving into. And I think it's good to be a part of that.
Writer Robert Andrew Anderson and actor Steve Bartolome, who has the role of Ubu, and Elaine Walton, co-producer of the Day of the Dead program and curator of the related art exhibition, all at the Wyoming Valley Art League, speaking with us about events in the days ahead at the Art League. The Rise and Fall of Ubu, King of Nipa, or Ubu Hu, will be presented this Sunday, October 30th. It is an offering of the Sunday at the Circle series, and it will get underway at 4 o'clock. Admission is free, but they'd welcome donations. Food and drink will be offered to celebrate, and also you should be aware that there is some adult material in the piece. That's this Sunday, October 30th at 4 o'clock at the Wyoming Valley Art League, and that's 130 South Franklin Street in Wilkes-Barre. And then the next event would be the Day of the Dead event, a celebration of life and cultures, and that will be this Tuesday and Wednesday, November 1st and 2nd, from 6 to 9 each evening at the Wyoming Valley Art League. And there will be lectures, there will be poetry, there will be a TED Talk screening, and much more. And also, if you are an artist and you think you have something that would be appropriate for a Day of the Dead visual arts exhibition that is to be curated by Elaine Walton, you still have time. She will be accepting works at the Art League this Monday between 1 and 5. And if you need information about any of these events, why don't you check the Wyoming Valley Art League website, and that is wyomingvalleyartleague.org, wyomingvalleyartleague.org. And the Wyoming Valley Art League, again, is located at 130 South Franklin Street in downtown Wilkes-Barre.